Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible.
RSD Renegade Radio. Where real guys talk real sports. Allow me to introduce the illustrious three-man booth.
I want winners.
What's your name, boy?
Watch the game changer.
What's your name, boy?
D-Well.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
CLT Sports PhD.
The world famous.
Ray.
They are who we thought they were.
We need more dollars.
RSG Renegade Radio. The plug is about to open, Everybody has an opinion.
A man must have a code.
We're taking RSG to the next level.
Hello? You play to win the game.
You could gripe about Mike's game, but I don't see shooting percentage being it.
I mean, I'm not griping the third overall player on my list.
Now, I blame it on Nintendo. It's provocative. He's real making excuses. You know, we're not going to make any excuses.
You need to move more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. Can't wait. Can you dig it, sucker?
All right. This is D. Wills. Welcome to Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk real sports. It's exciting. We're going to be having an energy-filled evening tonight. Yeah, in a little bit, Game Changer will be coming on, you know, to assume his role at the point. But I want to kind of begin the show. We had Turkey Day for a lot of us last week. We had a lot of sports going on. People got laid back, got a little tired watching the game, a lot of stuff going on. So, we kind of took a breather last week so we can get back and connect with our families and do everything here. And so we are back in the mix, but it's good to kind of get on the other side of this and have, you know, one of our special, you know, RSG members. You know, we're kind of like Wu-Tang. We got all kinds of cats who come out. They're dropping albums and doing different things. And tonight we got one of our favorite featured RSG experts. He's NBA. He's our NBA analyst, but he's got a much more broader background in sports and can talk about college football and everything else. But he's here tonight to share energy. So we want to kind of kick it off a little bit with our friend, our homie, and residence, Justin Page. How you doing, Justin?
D. Wills, I'm good. I'm doing great, my man. I'm glad to be here. Glad you gave me that intro because basketball, however, sports. You know, I could do it all. NFL, NCAA, you name it. I'm sitting here watching Duke, Michigan in the background right now. Nice little college basketball matchup I'm excited about. And you know what? I'm doing good. I'm Gatorade up, ready to go.
We both from Michigan, and that Duke-Michigan rivalry is serious and historic from the days of the Fab Five all the way through. It's had its... It's been lopsided that time to come back from Michigan's resurgence to the national scene last year. Really makes this game an interesting game as we get off here in down in Camden Indoor Arena. But a lot's been going on, man. You know, and we'll get specific into a lot of different things. Like we got basketball going, but we got a new hire at USC. And I've always said, you know, all these people in the SEC. A lot of talk I've heard historically, and they've had an impressive run. But when USC was running, they used to beat up on SEC teams on a regular basis. Pete Carroll ate lunch on them. And now they're bringing back one of Pete Carroll's guys. But, you know, Pat Hayden had this kind of, you know, righteous kind of aura about him. We're going to do the right things and all these different things he had going on. But it seems like how he handled this situation is something to be, you know, to kind of make you take a step back that, you know, with all the facade, this is still college football in terms of how they handled the coaching change out there in Cali. But with Sarkisian coming in, actually being very impressive at the other UW. Real UW is up there in Madison where, you know, I work, but there's another UW. But he's done an incredible job. Now he's coming back to Southern California to try to restore the glory. What was your impression about how this whole thing unfolded, and what do you see for Sarkisian, and what, you know, what's going to happen at USC moving forward?
Well, first off, I got tremendous amount of respect for Hayden, AD over there at USC. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. And I'm not disappointed in how he handled the situation. We all know Ed, you know, he did a great job. He came in, he was 6-2 after the Lane Kiffin hire, which I thought was a debacle from the jump. I don't want anybody with you know, the track record that Lane Kiffin had, how he left Tennessee kind of in a funk. So I think Hayden's only bad move was hiring Lane Kiffin in the first place. But to talk about, you know, what Ed did this year was phenomenal. He got those boys ready to play. They beat Stanford, which they hadn't done in 4 years since Pete Carroll was there. So I feel like he had the momentum going, but he wasn't the sexy hire. And in Southern California, you need sexy. Kobe Bryant is sexy. That's why the Lakers gave that man $25 million again and again and again. That's why USC hired, you know, an ex-USC guy who's kind of the sexy hire at the moment. Now, granted, could he have done more at Washington? And Sarkisian is what I'm talking. Yeah, he could have, but he's a USC guy thick and thin. He knows the culture. He can bring back the excitement that I feel like USC had during the Pete Carroll era. He came up under Pete Carroll. He understands the legacy of the program, the Hollywood aspect of the program, and I think he's going to bring all that back to USC. USC's been lacking. Lane Kiffin tried to run that like an NFL program for the last 2-3 years, and it's not necessarily that. You have to – these kids have to be motivated. They have to be excited. They have to want to go out and play, and they want to do it in front of people like Snoop Dogg and Will Smith and all the L.A. superstars. And I think he's going to help bring that back. I think he's going to bring a level of excitement to USC that they haven't had in years. And I honestly would argue that based on their talent, if Marquise Lee happens to stay, which I think is questionable, I think USC could contend for a national championship next year and you know, with ease, could win the Pac-12. I really like the hire. I think it was the right thing to do. I think Hayden handled it right by offering at Oregon, you know, what did he give him, $900,000 to be an assistant coach? That's unheard of. Who does that? I think Ed let his ego get in the way. I think he bailed out on the kids. And I think he'd be hard-pressed to find another job as great as a head assistant coach and offensive coordinator for a program like USC. He's going to come begging and crawling back come 2 years from now. Mark my words.
Well, and I think we got to admit that, you know, the job that was done by Sarkisian in Washington was really remarkable. When you think about how he found that program, you know, it was a story program. You know, people don't realize how dominant that program was for a long time. And, you know, he had a building job to do and got it back to respectability. You know, anybody who's probably watched that program very closely. And so you can respect him, you know, coming back. It was interesting when you talk about sexy because, you know, you got to be in a sexy, you got to be winning. And sometimes I think California deals too much with the sexy and forgets that's the grind in the winning. And I think, you know, and if you don't win, you know, and we'll talk about the Kobe salary later on in the show. We'll get deep into that, so we're not going to do that right now. But but you know, we see sexy in Dallas. We see a lot. We see a lot of sexy and no winning. And but the teams that appear to be dominating, like the Seattle game last night, who, you know, is not really sexy. It's just straight, we going to bum rush the show. That seems to be in as well. Did you get a chance to see the game last night? And we'll probably talk about a little bit more when Game Changer joins us in a little while. But, you know, that appeared to be a beatdown. Some people are calling it a biblical level in terms of what was experienced in Seattle. I mean, Seattle get off the bus hurting you. what was your impression last night, and who do you think? And we won't get too deep into this, but what were your initial impressions of that game last night? We'll get deeper into kind of the divisional leaders and the playoff stuff later. But what was your initial impression of if you saw the Chain game last night?
Well, to be honest with you, D. Wills, my initial take was each team is who we thought they were. You can say Seattle's not sexy, but Pete Carroll is sexy. He came into the NFL for his second stint, and he came in with a bang, and he's turned that franchise around. Russell Wilson is sexy. He wasn't sexy coming out of your alma mater, but he's sexy now. He has been for about 1 3/4 of a season, and he's continuing on that role. That defense. I don't know a sexier defense. And when I use the term sexy loosely, but that defense is arguably the best defense in the NFL. I should know. They're on my fantasy squad. So, and I jumped to get them, by the way. So playing in Seattle, having that defense that they have, having a sexy quarterback and a sexy coach, you have all the pieces in place to be successful. Mm-hmm. While Drew Brees argues that they're the best away team in football since 2009, you know, I take that with a grain of salt, because half the time they're beating other dome teams, or they're not playing outside in the cold weather in the elements. And I think that you know, alleviates from their greatness. So while Seattle's great, New Orleans is good, and if New Orleans has home games in the playoffs, which is still remotely possible, they could be that sexy pick to go to the Super Bowl, which I don't think they'll fare well in New York City in February. However, both teams are exactly who I thought. I didn't learn anything from that game last night. I don't want to be like ESPN. I don't want to be like all the headline sports shows. I don't buy into the hype that I'm not going to become a creature of the moment. Seattle's 11-1 for a reason, and they're built.
I was going to say, I wonder how long it was going to take you. This is, if you're a long-time RSG listener, you know we're getting warmed up when my man Justin Page said, I'm not going to be a creature of the moment. That tells us we just getting lubed up right now. We're getting excited, because that means he's talking about we're gonna hit this with some real-time analytics and analysis. We're not going to get caught up with the emotions of it. But we're going to come back with some stuff that means something. It's sustainable. We're not going to get all emotional up and down. We're going to stay centered around this.
Exactly.
I'm with you on that. Well, this is what we're going to do for a minute. We're going to take a brief little break here. You know, we're going to rest a little bit. We're going to drop a little something different for you in a minute. And then I'll be back with Justin Page to hit on a few more things before we get into the high octane of the show. But we'll be back in a few minutes after these messages.
You're listening to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions.
LL Cool J is hot as hell. Battle anybody, I don't care, you tell. I excel, they all fail. Gonna cocktail.
I've been waiting and debating for oh so long. Still starving.
You're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions. You're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions.
Yeah. Back in the building, rocking the bells. I'm here with Justin Page, and soon we'll be joined by my man, the Game Changer. We'll get into the high octane of the show. But Justin, we've been having there's been a lot of debate. On, kind of this whole run around the national championship, and we'll get into that a little bit later, in kind of as a teaser for folks. But beyond that argument about these national championships, which has been kind of getting the airwaves, who have been outside of these teams that everybody's been talking about? Who have been some teams that have surprised you this year that you think as they move forward, these are programs that are on the rise that might be in the conversation over the next couple of years? So they're not in the national camp, but as we start moving to this kind of tournament setting over the next few years, you say, okay, they're not in the national championship conversation, but they're definitely on the uptick. What are some programs that you've been very impressed with?
Wow, that's a loaded question, in which I'm appreciative for. Because I've thought about it, off the cusp, I've had some great dialogue with colleagues, friends, and the whole nine. And I'm huge into college football, so I appreciate the question. Taking out the top five, because obviously those guys are going to be the ones playing for the championship, the Florida States, Ohio States, Auburn, Alabama, and what have you, Missouri. Which, I'll mind you, I'm going to the SEC Championship at the Georgia Dome this Saturday.
All right.
I'll be in the building. I got Auburn in that game, even though you didn't ask, which is debatable, I know. And,
I know. And we'll get deep into that.
I got to be a slight homer here. I really like what Coach D is doing with that Michigan State defense. I don't feel like the Spartans have had a viable quarterback option since Jeff Smoker. And I think that based on their defensive principles and their ability to attract big talent in the Big Ten, I think they should be solid moving forward. I'm vastly impressed with Oklahoma State. What they did to Baylor last week is ultra impressive. I think that their 10-2 record speaks in volumes. I think they're going to put a molly whopping on Oklahoma this week moving forward. And, I really like Michigan State and Oklahoma State moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, Oklahoma State had a little brush up in terms of the some of the stuff, because they came on fast, a while back, and so some things came out about possible improprieties and stuff. Have they, do you see any type of NCAA investigations coming out of, you know, Les Miles was there and everything else? Do you think that you see that coming back to haunt them?
Absolutely.
I wasn't sure how that was resolved. Okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Every great program has improprieties, as you would put it. Look at USC. We praise Pete Carroll, but my man Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy taken. We praise Ohio State, but Urban Meyer ran them boys into the ground selling, having his players sell autographs for tattoos. I mean, these are kids we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hold the NCAA accountable and stop punishing these teams and these kids who the people that are responsible move on.
Mm-hmm.
You think about this. Everybody on USC that's paying for their scholarships right now, Pete Carroll's getting more money he's ever gotten in his life, and we're praising him for the job he's doing with Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. These improprieties only affect the kids of the future, and it's unfair. And it's the hypocrisy of what is called the NCAA. So I put the indictment on them as opposed to the college, the kids, and the coaches. So, yes, it will have an effect on Oklahoma State, but I don't think it's coming anytime soon. And when it finally comes, I think that coach is going to move on, and I think it's going to be irrelevant. They may lose a couple scholarships here and there, but at the end of the day, it won't make a massive difference. The way they're playing ball this year, I think is going to progress next year. Big 12 is a conference that glorifies the spread offense, the excitement that we all like in college football, and I think they have the ability to beat anybody. And Oklahoma State has proven that this year.
And I would add, I think those are really two good teams. And I think the new, and not because my guy Sean Fraser, the AD down over there now, but I think the new Boise State is Northern Illinois University. I mean, they're 12-0 again. You know, they're back in the hunt, possibly get in another BCS. You know, you got UCF. You got a couple of these institutions that are kind of that new Boise State type of programs that I see coming on the rise to also, you know, mess up a couple of rankings as we move forward. We're gonna have the man with the master plan who's gonna set the table for us tonight. You know, he kind of like Paul Pressey was in Milwaukee. You know, he was a point forward. Used to run it like that. You know, he could see over all the point guards. He could post them when he needed to and play good defense. You know, just and could lead a team to 60 wins all the time. So we're glad to have with us the man. He's more than a myth. He is more than even a legend. He's a game changer. What's up, man?
What's up, folks? Excuse me. How y'all doing tonight?
Game man, we feeling
what's
good.
Up, baby? Hey, man, I'm chilling, man. I'm feeling good. Feeling great, feeling good. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm fantastic. I'm a little disappointed my man D. Wills mentioned Northern Illinois, who I have tremendous respect for, but they did beat my Western Michigan Kalamazoo Broncos in the MAC championship last week, so I'm a little bitter. But other than that, I respect his foresight on Northern Illinois.
Excellent. So it sounds like we digging into some college football, man. I don't know if y'all had a chance to talk about this yet. Stop me if you have. But I definitely wanted to get D. Will's opinion on the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Well, y'all would, and I'm going to have to admit this, you know, because I'm trying to follow the pathway of PhD. So, and I don't know if you have me on Twitter, I'm at @RSGDWillD, W-I-L-S, I don't know how I got that stuff, D-L-W-I-L-S, I think I got something like that going. But check me out on Twitter. But I did tweet that on the biggest sports weekend of the year, I was working on applications for PhD programs. My brother actually called me because he works at Michigan Stadium at the gate. There is a air of disgust in Ann Arbor just in what's happening with the Michigan football program. If y'all don't know, I think there's 6,000 Michigan fans prior to the game turned in their tickets. And if you saw, if people followed me on Twitter, I said only for 20,000 people to show up to try to get those 6,000. So I was it was the one weekend of the year where I was actually trying to work on getting my PhD, trying to file a PhD. So I didn't get too much into the game, but I heard, I got all the phone calls, I got all the emails, Michigan with the lead, then losing the lead, and it just, it was a microcosm of their season. So much
promise. I want to you said something that got me, that's piqued my interest, and I want to probe on this a little bit. We talking about, you know, USC just made a hire. They hired Steve Sarkisian from Washington. That's got people up and on. It wasn't a sexy hire. People have debated whether or not it was a good hire. Now, when Brady Hoke was brought in, it was pretty thought, the university thought that was a good hire. Now, what's changed? It sounds like from on the ground level, from in the trenches, in Ann Arbor, are upset with the job that Brady Hoke has done. And I'm viewing this from a distance.
Well, part of it, there's a couple things that are a problem. It, as much as it's not really Brady Hoke, everybody said that, you know, Mattson was that was one of the best hires. I think people have been disappointed with Al Borges in the way that he's handled quarterback play, play calling. People are frustrated with the fact that they got a lot of depth at running back. They got a lot of talent. And for the first part of the season, he just focused on one or two running backs. You know, he wasn't really being very imaginative with the offense. And then Brady Hoke without the headset is driving people crazy. So where are you correcting things when things are not working? If you don't have a headset on, you know, who are you talking to? You know, it drives me crazy. Yeah, but Al Borges is the one that, and you heard when Hank was on, one of the few things he said, and Hank is right there in Ann Arbor, said Al Borges is driving him crazy. And so Brady Hoke gets that. In fact, they're not measuring up to the recruits they've got. Michigan's had top 10 recruiting classes, top 5 at some point. They got another good class coming in. And they're not getting the benefit out of that. So that's where he's catching a lot of the heat for, and they're losing games they're not supposed to be losing. So he's not making adjustments, particularly offensively. And so I think that's what is killing him. And Cass will say, you know, every time, something happens, you know, cats aren't over there talking to some of the offensive players and the quarterback about changes in coaching them. So it's that kind of stuff you think coaches should be doing, that's not happening. So he's catching heat for it. He got, next year is his year to make something happen.
Okay. I just wanted to, again, that's news to me. Not because it's surprising or I'm shocked by it or anything of that nature. It's just that
let me ask you a question. What do you think when Brady's not wearing that headset? Like, what comes to your mind as somebody who understands sports?
You know, it's mad unconventional. When people do stuff like that, I'm always putting them the benefit of the doubt. Like, you obviously have some sort of system to communicate with folks, so explain that to me. And then I can critique whether or not I think that worked for me or not, as far as being a viewing fan or a fan of a program. I think the game is a fast-paced game nowadays. I don't know or what you got in your head. Communication is so important, man. Communication is so important. And as fast as the game moves, I have all the ins and outs of what his communication system is, but I think you're at a disadvantage. I'll just put it like
let
that. I think you're at a disadvantage. Because the other cat got a handset.
let me chime in. We didn't have a problem with Brady Hoke and his headsets last year when Michigan overachieved with a poor quarterback in Denard Robinson who could barely throw a pass in my son's Pee Wee League. Why we got a problem now? It's kind of like the RG3 thing. Winning masks everything. When he was winning last year, nobody cared about his headset.
I'm going to tell you right now, on the ground in Ann Arbor, they did.
Hold on, hear me out. Chip Kelly's in the NFL right now, got three assistant coaches holding up different colored flashcards, glorified flashcards. Nobody else is doing that. and it's somewhat transcending. So don't knock a guy for not wearing a headset. I feel like you're more so indicting this guy because he's not winning football games, and University of Michigan is used to winning football games. Just my thought.
But I would say that people were critical of that last year. People were critical of Al Borges last year when they were winning because people could see. You know, when Devin Gardner goes to the bench, there's nobody over there talking to him. There's a college kid who's got talent, who you got to coach. And I was raising that issue last year. I would, at least if you go back and check the tape, I said I just don't trust the fact that he don't have a headset on. You know, and part of it is because even last year they had some struggles in key games where you need to be talking to people and making adjustments. The head coach isn't the one who necessarily called the play, but he needs to be at Al Borges' ear saying, look, you've thrown to the flat four times. We need to do something different. Well, I got to take off. You got to be pushing it in some ways. And so people I've talked to were critical last year as well because they saw it as fools go. So I have a lot of faith in Brady Hoke. I'm saying that. I think that he's done a good job recruiting. I think where that defense is going to go over time, it's going to be good. I think he's going to continue to get talent. But he's got to find a way to leverage that talent he had in there. I think on the Lloyd card, Lloyd got on my nerves sometimes, but what Lloyd would do to do is when you got young talent like that, you get those kids on the field and you put pressure on people. And I just don't see that kind of stuff. I don't think they're getting the most out of that talent that they have. That's his big issue, you know. And he's got to turn around because you can't go from that season you had last year to what you got this year. And they didn't have that big a drop-off in talent. They didn't lose that many kids to be losing as many games they lost this year. So that's my thing. But having said that, they're irrelevant. As much as I love, you know, I'm going to take a line from Basketball Wives. They're irrelevant right now. They're not in the conversation.
A non-factor is what she said.
Yeah, non-factor right now.
So here's a flip. Pardon me, viewers, for knowing that, but a non-MFN factor.
Yeah, I'm not going to be Mike Greenberg. I'm not going to be Mike Greenberg and bring the Jets in, who shouldn't even be a part of a conversation on every
right.
show. You know,
right.
you know, it's like, why are we talking
about fired at Mike and Mike.
I love you, Mike.
I want to the flip side of this game with Ohio State. And the fight and the situation with Hall flipping off the crowd. I watched that happen live, and I was at my local Toyota getting my oil changed, and I was in the lobby, you know, on my phone on Twitter, just following different. I hear him come off, and they go on for about 2-3 minutes. You know, that's a long fight. You know, usually a fight is about 5-6 seconds. In one of these, in an athletic environment. You know, it's a scuffle, refs get in, teammates get in, it's done. This went on for a good minute to 2 minutes of cats running around trying to swing on each other. And they were throwing punches. I mean, trying to hit each other. It's dumb, but they were trying to hit each other in the face. Where he slams his helmet down, he kicks over a bench, he's on his way out, he flips the bird, two-handed, you know, he gives him a double dose of the bird. Do you think Ohio State is going to suspend anybody? Any suspensions coming down? Should they suspend? And do you think any are coming down? Justin, I want you to go first. What's your take?
Absolutely not. If they suspend a man, it'd be a travesty. Now, I don't condone his actions, nor do I condone the violence that occurred. However, it was an emotional play. It was in the heat of the moment. He got excused from the biggest rivalry game of the season. Ohio State don't play anybody but Toledo, Buffalo, and Appalachian State anyway. So when they finally play a contender, which could be considered a rivalry, things get a little bit heated. Players get a little more agitated. And when you have the history that the two programs have, I'm completely okay with his emotion in the heat of the moment. While I don't condone it, I understand it, and you know, you shouldn't go off flicking off the fans, but he's a young kid. He'll rebound from it. Make him run a couple extra wind sprints. Make him do, you know, make the whole team do sit-ups because of his behalf, and move on. It's over.
Okay, D-Wiz, what's your take?
Yeah, it's the Civil War, that team down south. I got a lot of good friends on that campus, colleagues. I just got an email from one of my colleagues. I'm working on a project with it. So, you know, it's a team down south, a team up north. That's what happens. This weekend should be excused for all those kind of things. If it happens in Auburn, Alabama, if it happens in Clemson, South Carolina, there are certain games where you just excuse behavior. And this is one of them. So I'm not going to suspend the kid because it just, you know, for certain games, there should just be, you know, we just understand. Because that's kind of simple to what Bo and Woody would have done to each other. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. If they don't suspend them, I understand.
Woody would have been like, you know, I thought of that because I cracked up, man. I thought it was hilarious. It actually drew me more into the game. I started watching the game more after that and really kind of wanted to see how the outcome went. Now, what was your opinion on the two-point call going for the win? D-Will, what were your thoughts on that?
Hey, you got to do it. That's the kind of game it is. See, understanding that history of that the tie that created even – added fuel to the fire that Ohio State, went to the Rose Bowl and they didn't deserve to go back then. It's a great documentary that you need to watch on Big Ten Channel about that game that ended in a tie. But just the whole idea of going for it goes back to the days of Woody and Bo. And I think that's part of the mystique of it, and I think it's the only way to go down. Go for it. We'll put all the chips in.
Okay.
Let's go get it and run out the building.
Okay. Your thoughts, Justin. You had a thought on that.
I love the play. I love the play. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't love the play. I love the idea of the play. I feel like when you, as a coach and as a player, you know when you're outmatched. You know when you're playing against a superior team who hasn't lost in two seasons, you have to seize the moment. You have the ability to put your foot on their throat, and you must do it. I love the concept. I hate the play call. He went with one option, and that was the play that he called. Why not run a triple option to give the opportunity for the quarterback to pitch the ball or pass the ball or run the ball? He had no creativity. It's a play that they had seen 10 times in the course of that game. So I love the idea, and I hate the execution.
Okay.
But I
hence
feel like they had to go for the win.
Hence Al Borges.
Both of those are legit. Both of those are legit critiques. I agree with both of those. I'm down for the call. I'm down for the call that he made. Not happy with the play call. And then also just not happy with Devin Gardner's choice. I mean, Devin Gardner, regardless of the play call, he still has some choices to make as well. And to stare down a guy that they already got double covered and then to actually throw the ball to that guy, the execution of the whole setup was
awesome.
After they made the choice to go for it, everything went different. Everything after that was bad as far as I'm concerned. So I'm in with both y'all on that. Those are both legit critiques. In college football, since we're talking college football, the Iron Bowl, man, some fireworks in the Iron Bowl. Bama and Auburn, Bama basically loses their opportunity to go for the three-peat on a field goal, kick return, touchdown. I mean, seriously, like this sounds like something that happened in Forrest Gump. It really does. Like, this is how Forrest Gump beat Auburn or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, this is just a crazy scenario. 1 second left on the clock. Bama fights to get that second back on the clock. They get it back on the clock. And you talk about, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face. It totally backfires. Again, but another situation where they were going for the win,
They were trying to win the game. They were going to go for it, 57 yards out, go ahead and give it a shot. And, you know, hindsight of 2020, and anybody saying that they shouldn't have done that is an idiot. Because no way, Nostradamus wasn't predicting that Auburn was going to run that back. Right? He was surprised.
they saw him back there.
Yeah, but
that's
109 yards. That's 109 yards. I'm Alabama. I'm number one in the country. Within 109 yards, I got a guy on my team that's going to tackle this dude. I got one guy on the field that's going to tackle that dude. He got 109 yards.
Not on your protection squad. That was a field goal protection squad to make sure, because the kick was so long, the kick did not get blocked. So they had protectors out there than guys worrying about somebody running a field goal back. How many times
He still had 57, 70 yards to go before he got to them. They wasn't chasing him the whole way. They was basically waiting on him.
You got 300 pounders. There are 300 pounders out there. They can't keep up.
They didn't have to keep up. He ran to them. And he had to run 70 yards to get to him. He was tired.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, in that situation, if I'm the coach, I'm like, yeah, one of these guys, if this goes wrong, somebody's going to get him to get to the end zone. He has to get 70. He has to go 70 yards before he even gets to us.
Somebody's scholarship should get cut over that.
Possibly. We need to have some conversations. We number one in the country. I got five-star class after five-star class, and didn't none of y'all tackle this dude? You had 70 yards to get a beat on him. You know what I'm saying? You had 70 yards before he got to you. I don't care if you are 300 pounds. You only had to run about 17 feet to get in his way. He wasn't coming. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like they was on punt coverage where they kicked it and then they ran down and then he ran past them. He ran to him. So that's just my perspective on the situation. You know, that's my perspective on the situation. That was a crazy way to lose a game, though. I mean, you basically lost the national title shot. So now we're looking at Ohio State and Auburn. You think Bama still has a shot?
I absolutely think Bama still has a shot.
So what scenario? Break down the scenario for me.
Well, I will tell you this. I predicted this 3 weeks ago. Last I was on the show, Michigan State is going to beat Ohio State on Saturday. What we used to call what do we call the bold prediction? That's my onion. Okay.
Yeah, I dig it.
That's my onion right there. Michigan State, that defense is going to swallow Ohio State. Therefore, they're out of the running. So do you take Auburn, who could potentially lose to Missouri, which I potentially see happening? I think the voters would go with Alabama over Missouri to play in the national championship game against Florida State. Now, granted, if Florida State loses to Duke, which I don't see a 29-point underdog beating, you know, the number one team in the country, but it's college football. We've seen stranger things happen, like 109-yard field goal kick.
You ain't lying.
So,
you ain't lying.
One, if Duke beats Florida State and Michigan State beats Ohio State, we're going to have a rematch of the Iron Bowl. And then the other scenario is when Michigan State – notice I didn't say if, I said when. When Michigan State beats Ohio State, I think you could potentially be looking at an Alabama-Florida State matchup if Missouri beats Auburn, which is very, very, very possible.
Yeah, all those scenarios are plausible. Mostly because you're dealing with 18, 19, 21, 22-year-olds. Anything can and will happen in college football. All those scenarios are plausible. You know, I just hadn't given a whole lot of thought to Alabama getting back in it. So I just wanted you to break down your thought process on that. D-Wills, what are your thoughts? You think Ohio State's going to hold it down? Who you got in the championship?
I think Justin's got a great point. I've been saying all season that, I mean, Michigan State's defense, they remind me of that, you know, the team, Michigan team that got ousted after they lost at Ohio State, after Bo Schembechler lost and Urban Meyer made this little fake plea for it. And chickens may come home to roost because they're going to use his own words against him around SEC. Well, it should have been a rematch between Michigan and Ohio State, just like it was Auburn. I mean, Alabama had the rematch a few years ago. I think Michigan State, but I just think I would like to see Ohio State win. I think Justin's making a really good point about Michigan State. I thought their weakness was their quarterback early on, but he's matured. Offensively, they're doing some really good things, and that's what hurt them early on. But their defense has always been a championship-level defense. Them cats, they play for real. But I think Urban Meyer's seen that before. So he's seen, because they look a lot like an FCC defense. So he's seen that speed. He's seen how they're going to come out. I would like to see the Big Ten represented in the championship against an SEC team and let it be on the field. And the irony of having someone like Urban Meyer who was in the SEC now face a former SEC team to really push it, because I think then you'll start to see some things switch a little bit in terms of competitiveness. And I would love to see it. But I do think Justin's got a good point. I mean, Michigan State, boy, even Michigan State has always been the kind of team that, even when they were 6-5, you're going to hurt when you play against them. And so it's going to be a good game. They got some great defensive players. But I think that Byer will find a way to win. I think it's for him so important because of this national conversation for his team to find a way to win. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think it's going to be a field goal at the end, and it's going to raise a lot of debate. But Ohio State will squeak into the national championship.
Okay.
Urban Meyer. Go ahead.
Okay. Urban Meyer uses a headset, so I mean he's already kind of got his act together.
That was the advantage he had last week. Brady, you can learn from that. Put that headset on.
You're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio. Special guest host Justin Page is on with us tonight. Check us out, Real Sports Guys podcast. Make sure you get downloaded from the realsportsguys.com. Since we have Justin in the house, before we get into our NFL conversation, I want to take a little bit of time and we got to talk to NBA. The NBA season is going. Justin is our NBA expert. He follows the league like no other. He's in tune with everything going on. He probably got as many sources as Chris Broussard claimed he got. So, you know what I'm saying? I think Chris is making stuff up sometimes. It has that whole journalist privilege, that source privilege that journalists have.
We on the ground radio. We take shots at you, baby. This is real stuff. We take shots at you like underground hip-hop artists. It's a mainstream. We take shots at you.
Sometimes, and that's just me, though. Sometimes I feel like, I like Broussard. I like what he's trying to bring to the table, what he's trying to bring to the game. Sometimes I feel like he just be throwing stuff off the wall and making stuff up and saying he heard it. You know what I'm saying? I got a source that said, Mike was coming back again at 50. Come on, Chris, you ain't heard that from nobody, man.
Actually, who
I got
did that, right? You know that was my man Jalen Rose. He did that on Grantland Podcast. I can go back to the date if I go back through my text messages, but it was Jalen Rose who suggested that MJ was coming back at 50 because he suggested that in his Hall of Fame speech. But that's just a little tidbit of information that I got for the people. But
that's Jalen going too far, man. That's like when people go back and they listen to Machiavelli, Don Caluminati, The 7-Day Theory from Tupac, and they hear messages talking about hit him up. Tupac said that he was going to Cuba, and he was faking his death, because if you really listen to it and you play it backwards at a 60 BPM speed, you can hear Tupac telling you exactly what his plan is to fake his death. Come on, man, that ain't happened, dog. You read too much into it.
True. He did say Suge shot me, though.
He did say that.
He did say Suge shot me, but that ain't really hit a debate.
Here's the thing. Did he say that before or after he shot him? I mean, what?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to
gonna keep us on track tonight because I don't want to get in trouble by PhD.
Right.
I'm gonna keep us on track because I want to cover these NBA topics. I know we only have 40 minutes to go, but I'm really excited about the topics, and I want to make sure that again I get invited back to the show.
You're always welcome back, bro. Regardless of what PhD say. All right,
you're the family now with Suge. Now you passed over to the other piece. You got
so,
the extra.
Jason Kidd, the Brooklyn Nets. You know, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference standings as we speak, and it's ugly in the East. I mean, you got Miami and Indiana, and then a pile of doo-doo after that. You got two teams over 500. Washington is sitting at 500, and they the three seed. Are you kidding me? Right now, Charlotte is in the playoffs. The Bobcats are in the playoffs. The Pistons are in the playoffs. The Celtics, who are supposed to be tanking, are in the playoffs. And they're in first place with a 400 winning percentage. The East is ridiculous. All right? It's a tire fire. It's messed up. It's a bad situation altogether. However you want to put it, it's rough. I mean, it's ugly in the East. And part of the reason it's so ugly is because you have teams that people anticipated being in the mix, not being in the mix and not being what people thought they were going to be. You know, you have the Chicago Bulls situation with, you know, we might have to pull out a little liquor for Derrick Rose. It's a hard knock life.
He's Penny. He's done.
Hey, you know what? I was just going to say, I had that same conversation with PhD over text right when they announced the injury. I was like, you know, as a kid, I remember Penny, but I really didn't understand what had happened to Penny. I just knew Penny was cold. Penny got hurt, and he wasn't cold no more.
Yeah.
With this situation, I'm watching it happen before my eyes, man, and it kind of hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like, to see a guy who has that much ability keep getting hurt, it's tough to watch. I mean,
yeah.
It really is, because you're just like, yo, man, this kind of sucks. You know, you feel bad for the kid. You know what I mean? So that's we see an eye to eye on that one, Justin. I texted the exact same thing to PhD right as they announced that he was going to be out for the remainder of the season. I was like, man, this is Penny Hardaway all over again. You know, only the difference is I was a kid then, and I just really didn't understand. I had a perspective on what was happening. But, you know, hopefully he can come back and kind of make something out of this. But either way, Chicago is without him. And with them, they wasn't world beaters with them. You know, the hope was eventually they'd turn it around. So they're at 7-9. They're below 500. Then you have Brooklyn, who was supposed to be in the mix. And, you know, they're struggling to get it together. You know, they're old, really old, and it's showing. And then you got New York that was supposed to be in the mix, and they just need to trade Carmelo. We're going to get to that in a second.
Whoa.
We'll get there. First, I need to talk about Brooklyn. All right, Jason Kidd, now you and I both pointed to him as the wild card in the situation. We both recognized when we did our NBA preview show, we both recognized that they had talent. They had a lot of talent. We both thought that they could challenge Miami if they were healthy going into the playoffs. As of right now, we may need to revisit that whole perspective and just say, look, they need to get into the playoffs, get it together, get into the playoffs, and then they might need to get a new coach. It's just not working out. And he was a wild card. What's your assessment, Justin, of the Brooklyn situation right now as we speak today?
I would argue that both you and I need our titles restricted from us from any further NBA talk based on Brooklyn.
We wasn't alone. Everybody was, though. Everybody was. You find me the analyst, the quote-unquote analyst. I'm throwing up air quotes right now. You can't see it because it's radio, but they're there. The quote-unquote analyst that saw this coming. You give it to me and I give them this.
My point is this. We're not ESPN. We're not CBS Sports. We're not every other analyst. We get it right, and we have a different perspective. We went mainstream, and we were high on Brooklyn, and we got sold the Kool-Aid. We drank the Kool-Aid, and we shouldn't have. I'm going to tell you Brooklyn's problems. It's not just Jason Kidd. It's Deron Williams, number one, who I've got my top five point guards.
I called it.
century or decade of point guards. I'll put him up there, and he's on his way out, okay? Deron Williams is a joke. He's out of shape. He's unprofessional. He doesn't come to work, and I feel like his relationship with Jay Kidd is clouding both his ability to perform and Jay Kidd's ability to coach him effectively, one. Two, Paul Pierce's hand injury. He's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. That's crippling. Three, Kevin Garnett's age. Four, Jason Kidd is way over his head. They should have let Lawrence Frank be the head coach and let Jay Kidd be an assistant coach. I mean, this guy is spilling drinks on the court getting fined 50 grand. just to get an edge in a ball game that he has no chance of winning anyway. Like, if I got to steal something from ESPN and Chris Carter, come on, man. That's my thoughts on the Brooklyn Nets. I dropped the mic like sexual chocolate.
What? KD. Oh, man, we can have that on cue. We can have a sexual chocolate. We slipping.
We slipping. Oh, he said I dropped the mic like sexual chocolate. Woo, I'm off.
He spilled a drink on the court on purpose to get an extra timeout. Come on, man.
I thought it was creative.
That's
the
amateur
most creative
move.
Thing he's,
that's you know what it is? That's
the most creative move he's done.
That's a Mike Tomlinson with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He knows his job on the line. He's vulnerable. He's desperate. He went for something that he shouldn't have done.
So now you might have started something.
Yeah,
I don't know
now
how
you
feel
now
about
now
that.
That was what he did was a rivalry move. That's what you do in a rivalry game. It had nothing to do with it. Thomas secured his job. He's one of the best coaches in the league. He's good to go. We can't put Jay Kidd and Tomlin in the same sentence. You know, that's like, you can't put Jay. What are you talking about? A guy that's been to two Super Bowls, well respected, been doing everything. You gonna put him in the same thing with the Jay? That's like
their antics are similar. Their antics when they're desperate are similar.
He wasn't really desperate. That's a move that all coaches do in football. Some too many people spill drinks on the floor. You know,
nobody steps on the field and blocks a guy from turning a kick.
Oh,
like, come
they,
on,
they,
man!
They already talked about the multiple incidents even before there's some coaches being in the way. That's not uncommon. People are always out on the field. Some of it's on purpose. Some of it's just not paying attention to what's happening around them. But that's not new. How many coaches have you seen spill water to get extra time out?
Both of those guys should be above that. Jason Kidd's not getting the benefit of the doubt because his team stinks.
I thought it was creative. It was creative. He had to figure out how to get stoppage to the clock. That's probably something he thought about as a player.
So you like the move. You like the move.
Well, I think where y'all are right, it's not a bad move that Jason Kidd is coaching. It's probably a bad move that Jason Kidd is coaching the Nets where they are.
Yeah.
You know, this is
a
team that is ready to win, and I think Jason Kidd could be a great coach, but he's not the right coach for this team at this moment. I actually thought, you know, I love Lawrence Frank. I think he's been getting a raw deal, but he would have been a great person to bring back to the Nets with Jason learning from him. Or even get an older veteran coach who got something who Jason could learn from, you know, in that Hubie Brown type style. I agree with that as a method. I just don't think he's the right team for this, right person for this team. He'd have been a great coach for a younger squad that is still in their early stages that he could be a part of building their roster in a way that he could do. But I think he's just too close in age. And there's beyond him, Father Time is undefeated. And so, you know, KG is falling off. KG's playing every other night. Paul Pierce has some problems. They've had injuries. I mean, you know, it's a whole bunch of things. And when you're a young coach like Jason Kidd, you need your cats. You need your veterans sometimes to bail you out while you're trying to get a feel for the game. And he hasn't had enough of those veterans who could coach on the floor there. And you know basketball. Guys can be great, but if you view by anybody these young guys on the program – of not being able to contribute, I don't care who you are, you lose authority in the locker room.
Aren't Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan comparable in age, or no? And you're
those teams are much different. San Antonio has a much different team culture. And you hit it right on the head. I've been saying this thing about Darren for a long time, and people have been thinking I was crazy. But, you know, I don't know what's going on with him, but he's cussed a couple coaches, you know, and, you know, his reputation is taking a hit. He was a top 5-point guard. He's nowhere near that right now.
Bottom tier.
And he's nowhere near that right now. So is that Jason Kidd's fault? You know, he hasn't been able to play under a couple other coaches who already had a reputation. And so at the end of the day, you also need players. You can't afford to have your best player, you know, Game Changer and I have a really common person who was a great friend of mine and his coach and mentor. Cecil Youngblood used to always say, your best player's got to be your hardest worker. Period.
Yep.
And on that, and you can tell when you have a problem, when your best player is not your hardest worker, then you got a problem. And that's the problem the Nets have. And KG and them are not their best player. Darren Williams is their best player, but he's not their hardest worker.
Right. So,
echoed everything I just said.
I think so. I think you guys are on the same page. I think y'all guys are eye-to-eye on that one.
Yeah,
Where I think we may have a point of contention is the Carmelo conversation we're about to have.
There's no contention on that.
This is my remedy for the whole situation in New York. It's broke.
They don't tell the whole truth either.
It's broke. Now, see, Darren Williams for D. Wills is my Carmelo Anthony. I've been off the Carmelo bandwagon since, like, 08. And me and D. Wills had it, we was at work, we had it out in his office, you know, we arguing about Carmelo Anthony. People think I'm going to get fired. You're now arguing with the boss.
Oh, my goodness.
I think at this point the Knicks' only move to make is to trade Carmelo Anthony. Not because Carmelo is a bad player, but because this situation ain't going nowhere. It's going nowhere fast. They're strapped money-wise. He's going to leave. Get something for him while you can. You've traded all your draft picks. You have no assets other than Iman Shumpert, which you're not going to get anything of significance back for unless you find an idiot. Which, you know, a sucker's born every day. But I think their only move right now, they have a 188 win percentage. 188. They're 3-13. They've lost 9 straight. You got to trade Carmelo. You got to move him and try and get something for your franchise. Because with him, it's just not going anywhere. And you don't have the flexibility to actually add pieces. There's nothing they can add right now. There's nobody that can move that anybody's going to give them anything for. It's done. It's a wrap. Blow it up. Go forward. Figure something else. Come up with a new plan. You got to move on. See what you can get and move on.
Was that a question posed to somebody? Who should chime in first?
Let me just say what I want to say, because then I'll let y'all kind of go at it. I got to figure out whether or not I got to hit the mute button. I'm going to go even higher than that. The issue is not just Carmelo. The Knicks have had a problem for a long time, and it goes back to this. You know, great organizations are run by silent owners. I mean, the only exception to that is Steinbrenner in my mind. And James Dolan is as much an issue here as anyone, the way they run their organization and in the meddling of it, you know, to the fact that, you know, he's forced out quality people when he's had them there. So that is an issue for them in addition to what I say about Carmelo. And part of the thing about Carmelo is I always say that, again, Carmelo, and I love Carmelo. That's what Game Changer should say. You know, I think getting with the right player, he can make some things happen. His problem is he can't operate unless he controls a rock. In a league where the game is played from side to side, ball movement, your stars have to not only score, but they got to create offense for other people. And he doesn't create offense for other people. He's got good players, but if you LeBron with his team. His team would be performing much better than this because he has players who can contribute, but they can't score for themselves for the most part. So Carmelo has the ability to create offense for other players. He just doesn't. It's not because he doesn't have a skill set. It's just mentally he has not wired his head that way for some reason other than when he's playing with the Dream Team.
Is it going to work, though? But is it going to work in New York? Yes or no?
No. You got to blow them up.
I'm telling you guys right now, it's taking every bit of me to bite my tongue because I know PhD is listening and or will be listening. And I want to be appropriate to the format of the show. But I can't wait till y'all allow me the ability to chime in.
You go.
Now, I will argue, you're telling me that the man who led the league in scoring last year, the man who's in the top five in scoring this year at 26.3 points a game, the man who's got his career high in rebounding at 9.9 rebounds a game, which is essentially 10 rebounds, the man's averaging a double-double. His starting center is hurt. His starting point guard is hurt. And you guys are telling me they need to ship him somewhere? Where are you going to get anybody else that's going to give you 27 and 10 in production? Not going to happen. You want to get four role players for him and have a team full of mediocrity? Melo is putting seats in Madison Square Garden, which is most important to James Dolan. Therefore, you can't ship him out because you're going to continue to stink as a franchise and you're not going to sell out. At least they're still selling out. You got to think, this is the same squad that won 54 games last year and was a number two seed. Like, for you guys to just put an indictment on
But the stat that you mentioned is he averages 2.5 assists.
I didn't talk about his assists because he's not an assist guy.
But that's
he's not a guard.
You know
guards
that.
Get assists. Forwards you're LeBron James, who's an anomaly.
No. Barkley and all these great players got the double team, create openings for shooters to score.
Last year, when the Knicks won 54 games and they were a number two seed, Melo was getting assists to J.R. Smith.
That happens on a Tuesday night in Cleveland, not in the playoffs.
Justin. This is the $9.99 question as PhD frames it up. Is this working? Yes or no?
It's not working currently.
Okay,
but
it's not working.
What's changing
from last year to this year?
Let me tell you, lots of change. First and foremost, their defensive anchor in Tyson Chandler. He broke his leg. If you haven't recalled, the Knicks ain't won a game since Tyson Chandler broke his leg.
Did you think the Knicks were a championship team last year?
They were a number two seed, and they won 54 games.
Did you think they could win a championship?
They were a number two seed, and they won 54 games.
So you don't think they could win a championship?
No, I don't think anybody can win a championship other than the Miami Heat. So that's not saying much. That's an indictment on the rest of the league more so than it is against the New York Knicks and Carmelo Anthony. Now, a team that wins 54 games in the regular season and had multiple 8-game winning streaks and has...
Sounds like the Atlanta Hawks.
I'm sorry?
Sounds like the Atlanta Hawks in the last 10 years.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. Hawks ain't never won 54 games and ain't never had a player like Carmelo Anthony.
Whoa, but they've been a top four seed, top 4-3 seed
now
for like
I feel
the
like
last
picking
decade.
And I don't think it's fair. Now I feel like you're picking
the
fight, and I don't think it's – why we got to bring the Hawks into it? We're not talking about
where's that got them? What do they have to show for it?
Bruh, you're not understanding the perspective that I'm coming at it from. If you're trying to win championships as an organization,
if your goal is to win championships and that's what you're trying to do, then, yes, Carmelo's a great player, dog. I'm not denying that at all. I'm not saying Carmelo is not working. It's not working with Carmelo.
If I'm not able to complete my thoughts, I'm not able to have a real conversation.
Go ahead.
I was trying. So I'll try again. The Hawks have never had a Carmelo Anthony-esque player, i.e. a top three, top five small forward in the game. D. Wills will tell you, 3 weeks ago when I was on the show last, I digressed and Melo became the fourth best small forward in the league, and I upgraded Paul George. D. Wills, can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I already downgraded Melo to show you guys that I'm realistic. However, if a guy's averaging 27 and 10, blame him for his team's woes.
I'm not blaming him. I feel you. I agree with that.
When his starting point guard and his starting center is out of the lineup and have been for 4 weeks, if you take Mario Chalmers and Chris Bosh away from the Miami Heat, you think LeBron and D-Wade going to do it all? Nah.
Yeah.
I don't.
LeBron's
better
with
really
less.
Don't.
He's better
Although
with
I
less.
Think LeBron's
Mo Williams,
a player.
Andy Varejao. Mo Williams and Andy Varejao, 64 games. They won.
Andy Varejao cost me a fantasy championship last year because he got hurt, so I don't want to talk about him. But either
like
way, if you look at Melo's production this year, it's up in all accounts. And I don't think you can blame him for the woes that are the New York Knicks. I think Mike Woodson's on his way out. I think Jeff Van Gundy's on his way in. I think that'll cause an instant change of attitude. But I don't know that it'll result in success immediately. I think when Tyson Chandler comes back, I think when Raymond Felton comes back, I think they'll be a better ball club. I think they'll make the playoffs. I don't think they'll be competing with Milwaukee for the worst record in the NBA like they currently are. And that's all I'm saying.
I feel you. And I'm not saying it's Carmelo's fault. I'm saying it's and I'm looking at this situation. I know where this is going. I know it's not leading to a title. And I'm not saying it's Carmelo's fault. I get the injuries. The injuries play a part in it. It's not Carmelo's fault that Amari's knees are made out of paper mache. You know what I'm saying? That's not his fault. But
Amari crippled them, not Melo. Amari crippled them, not Melo.
You're right. Right. So in order to come out from under this situation, you got to move something. And the only chip you got that's worth anything to anybody else is Carmelo. That's my point. I'm not saying that it's Carmelo's fault. I'm saying that if they want to get out from under this situation, they got to move Melo. Now, is that
for who? For who?
For some sort of flexibility.
A player like Melo for?
You're not gonna get a dollar for a dollar in this situation. We know that it never works out like that. They didn't.
So you don't
when they got Melo. When they got Melo, they didn't give up a dollar for a dollar. But Denver's in a better situation than they are.
I don't know
about
numbers don't lie, bro.
Numbers don't lie.
I wouldn't want to coach Denver right now, would you?
Denver's 11-6. New York is 3-13. Numbers don't lie. Denver's in a better spot right now, period. And they're in a tougher conference.
They're healthy.
That don't mean nothing. Tyson Chandler had
an injury when they got him. Denver was not. Amari had bad knees when they got him.
But they made these moves and got guys who were injury-prone when they got them. It wasn't like they got there and then got hurt. Tyson Chandler had been getting hurt. Amari Stoudemire had been getting hurt. This is bad management.
Oh, don't get me wrong.
So how do you get out from
all the way back to New York bad management with Zach Randolph contract, Stephon Marbury,
Eddie Curry,
Steve Francis? Yeah.
You know, the list goes on.
Bad contract. But Melo.
Right, and so what I'm saying is, I'm not saying Melo's a bad contract. I'm saying he's your only valuable asset.
And that's why I draw the line.
And he might leave anyway. So what I'm saying is,
you got a garage,
you got to get
Rolls Royce
for him.
Mercedes Benz and BMWs. You don't get rid of your best Rolls Royce. You get rid of
your. If your Rolls Royce, if the repo man is coming to get it in a couple months, you sell that bad boy. You sell that bad boy.
The New York Knicks have the most lucrative TV deal in history. That Rolls Royce is staying parked.
They still gonna have that, but he's going to LA. That's what I'm saying. Carmelo is not staying. Carmelo sees the writing on the wall. He knows Amari's knees are garbage. He knows Tyson is on the wrong side of 30.
Now that's
so what I'm saying is
you got a guy who's gonna opt out
anyway. You're the Knicks. You got to trade him and get whatever you get is more than zero. Because he's leaving at the end of the season.
That's the real thing you have to say. I texted my buddy earlier. He said, Melo got to think about leaving. I said, L.A. is looking real good to Melo right now. I'd love to see Melo and Kobe together.
And so that's why I'm saying the Knicks got to trade him. Because he's gone. And you're going to be standing there with Amari with some bad knees. Tyson Chandler on the wrong side of 30. Raymond Felton is your point guard, and nothing. You can't be left like that if you're the Knicks.
Who are you gonna trade them for? Give me a reasonable solution on who you would give Carmelo Anthony to somebody for.
I don't know what you would get for him. I haven't jumped on the trade machine and seen what I could get for Carmelo. But what I'm saying is, anything is better than nothing, given that he's gonna walk. Because it's not working. It's not going to work in New York for him or the franchise. It's not going to work. It's not working out. And he knows that. And he's going to bounce. And so if you know he's going to bounce, you stop moving while you can. Otherwise, you're sitting there with nothing.
And what I'm saying is, and this is why I think it's very important what you're saying, and we're not saying that Carmelo is not a great player, but I'm saying to be where it's team winning. Because as an individual player, he's got greatness, but if you look at Kobe's assist,
don't give me Kobe. No, you can't take Kobe.
Because
if Kobe was in this situation, the Knicks would suck too. If Kobe was in this situation, the Knicks would be bad too.
I don't think so.
Same game. Melo's a better rebounder. Same game.
No. But Kobe historically gives up that rock. The reason why I use Kobe for that reason is that Kobe stands when he needs to get the rock up.
No, he don't. That's why he signed that big contract.
I got to interject.
He signed that big contract because he don't get it. He signed that big contract because he don't get it.
I have to interject. I apologize.
2.5 assists tells you all you need to know. It's a black hole.
I'm not the leader of the show. I'm a guest.
Go ahead, Justin. We got our special guest on. Let's let Justin give us his insight. What you got, Justin?
I'm not the leader of the show. I'm going to be respectful. I feel like out of the three of us, I'm Kobe's number one fan. I got a lot to say about his contract and how I think you guys are going to approach it. However, Kobe's never cared about assist. Kobe's never cared about anybody else other than Kobe.
Exactly.
Kobe ran Shaq out of town. Kobe,
exactly. I understand, but his stat, he gave a rock up. He averaged about 4 assists a game.
Exactly. That's why Kobe got that deal. Kobe going to get paid.
Kobe wants his legacy and he wants his money.
Exactly.
Nothing else. That's what he wants.
He wants to be the all-time leader.
Kobe's the
complete
opposite of anybody you could. He's the exact opposite of anybody you could say is. Oh my God.
I'm with you on this.
I'm really at a loss for words, but I don't understand how D. Wills could even say
I used it as an example of somebody who loves to shoot the ball. He still averaged 4 assists. He loved to shoot
4.
Never seen a shot.
Kobe's
going to
average
20
shots a game when he get back.
What I'm saying is, over his career, he has 4 assists, almost assists more. What I'm saying is, to play the game, we all know if we watch the game, when you are a superstar, you have to have the ability to make things happen out of the double team. I say Melo doesn't. When you watch him, that's why his teams don't play well, because he doesn't leverage his ability to score to create shots for other
people. They will. Kobe spent his career passing out of double teams to Shaq. The best.
Hold on.
Hear me out.
When was the last time he played Shaq? He won 3
hear
steps
me out.
Two steps since Shaq.
I'm sorry, Paul Gasol.
I'm sorry,
Paul Gasol. Andrew Bynum. He passed out of double teams to 3 of the top 20 centers we've seen in this decade.
But y'all just said he didn't care about nothing but Kobe. I'm saying that he
doesn't
pass the ball.
He doesn't. If you're the best player in the game that we've seen in our decade, past Michael Jordan, and you only average 4 assists, that should tell you.
All right. I want to stop the conversation. I'm going to stop you guys.
I'm going to stop you guys for a second.
Because we got about 10 minutes left. We got about 10 minutes left. All right. I want to stop the conversation. We got about 10 minutes left. I want to stop that direction of the conversation, but I do want to ask, what do you guys think of Kobe's contract? I want to let D. Wills go, then I want Justin to go in. We got 5 minutes, fellas.
Why he get to go first?
Me and you been going. He kind of been chilling in the cut. So I got to bring him into the fold, and I'm gonna let y'all go, and I'm gonna step back. All right, I'm gonna step back. I got to call the play. I got to make sure I get everybody involved.
I'm over here ready to hit this shot after saying all that. It was selfish. you can't tell me you want to win. It is about winning. When you're going to eat up the possibility of getting, at least 2 max players to play with you, you mean like $8 million on the table. You get paid on the market, you probably going to get anywhere from 12 to 15. And the most teams you ever play for is the Pelicans. And you're going to eat up all that contract looking at your roster, talking about winning a championship, looking at playing teams like San Antonio. All these teams are getting better, and you're getting older. But I understand at the end of the day, he got to get his money. It's probably the last deal he's going to get, but it's not going to lead to a championship. And he can put 25 and whatever all up on his Twitter account. And I'm the kind of cat that could hang with Kobe and like Kobe. But from a basketball kind of standpoint, that wasn't a winning contract. The other thing said a lot about the Lakers. See, that's that Hollywood stuff. That's the stuff that Justin was talking about, sexy. Sexy going to get y'all back in the dark ages. Sexy going to have you sexy on Hollywood Boulevard with the way the team going to look after you try to replace this team. This team is in shambles.
It's going to have you with implants and duck lips. It's going to have you with implants and duck lips.
Yeah, look at, 60 years old trying to look 44. 60 years old,
Charlie,
24.
Nah, that's
all.
Not a good one. Your take on Kobe's contract.
Trying to get Kobe's contract. Forget that.
Yeah.
You better send him. You should have sent him away like Pujols.
That's what I'm saying.
That's blasphemous and disrespectful. I almost look at the statistics
in the history.
You're going to be talking like that.
Look, you're in court, Atlanta. When they talk about statistics, the only person to have this kind of Achilles injury and come back and make the All-Star team with Dominique Wilkins in your neighborhood.
Atlanta Hawks. I know it very well.
But he didn't win nothing.
But guess what?
With the West getting better, you mean to tell me with that roster they going to even be OK City? And OK City ain't even the best team out there. I'm going to leave it alone.
Whose turn is it for the question? I'm sorry.
Justin, whose turn is it for the question? It is your turn, Justin.
I feel like it's my turn. Like, PT is going to feel like I'm the one that's provoking the
He's not here. You do your thing. You with us.
Man, he tells me well about it when he's not here. So I want to keep my spot on the show. So I'll say that with a grain of salt. But I will go back through a little list that I'm reviewing at the moment. And there's a list of LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, and Chris Paul. Can any of you two sports enthusiasts and analysts tell me what those guys have in common?
Who's on the list?
That's a question.
Who's on the list?
LeBron, KD, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul.
Let me make it easy for you.
They were all NBA first team last year. You're telling me you're not going to pay an all NBA first team talent $25 million? And he deserves 30 or more? Why wouldn't you pay this guy? Because of an injury?
Because he's on the other side of 30.
Let me say that. That was a rhetorical question. It didn't require a response. It was rhetorical.
All right, go. Go.
Now,
you got it. Go.
So in addition to his current production, because all you can go on what he's done most recently, you have to look at what he's done in the past. Multiple first teams, multiple all-stars, multiple championships, five to be exact, second most out of any great player. This dude, he's brought the Buss family over $5 billion, not million, billion with a B, in revenue over his 17-year tenure with the company. You got to pay it. You got to reward a guy. You telling me if
you don't win on past performance. You don't pay people for past performance. We know that.
Let me finish. Let me finish. Tim Duncan took $10 million last year. And guess where it got him? Short of a championship. If Kobe takes $10 million and the Lakers as a management, which I don't feel he trusts anyway, they could bring nobody in and just say, we're just going to ride Kobe coattails and sell tickets with Kobe till he's on his way out, and we're happy with the revenue we're getting, not the championships. So why would Kobe take less than he's worth, which he did, by the way? Why would he take $10 million? Why would he take $12 million knowing he worked 20 to 30?
Not on the open market. Nobody's paying $20, $30. If the Lakers don't pay him that, you think somebody else will pay him that money?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
I say no. Nobody.
Minnesota would have jumped to pay that man $20 million. With Kevin Love, Ricky Rubio, and Kevin Love, they'll sell out every night.
There's no cap room for that. All he has is maybe the Bobcat.
All
you
got to do is pay the luxury tax. You don't think Mikhail Pokerich wouldn't have shipped Joe Johnson on for Kobe?
That's different.
It's all about the luxury tax.
He's just the basketball version of our good friend down in Dallas. You know, a lot of hype. He's Snyder. He's Snyder from Washington. That's who he is. He's Snyder.
You guys aren't looking at this thing objectively. You don't get rid of a first ballot Hall of Famer, first team All-NBA guy in his most recent season over a couple million. You can still get another max player. You telling me Kobe's not a good second max player?
He didn't sign that to be second.
Right.
They pay
he
another guy.
You don't pay a second
million.
Max player $24 million. You don't play a second max guy $24 million.
What does D-Wade
right?
get? Then they're 20.
You play a guy $24 million to be an All-NBA performer.
And Kobe's that. He's never proven not to be.
And so this is
Kobe,
here's my point, though.
What
I'm not talking about the Lakers. I'm not talking about the Lakers.
What does D-Wade say? Does anybody know? What is D-Wade's salary?
I don't know. I don't have an issue with the Lakers paying him. I don't have an issue with the Lakers paying him. I have an issue with him wanting that money.
So
you're trying to say
that
he's immortal. At this point, because it laid it out.
Hear me out.
I gave you a chance. I want my time. This is the thing that it laid out. And it laid it out perfectly, real smooth and obvious for people to see. All right? Kobe's legend is built upon this win first killer instinct. If I'm win first killer instinct, I'm not taking $24 million when I know I need help at this point in my career. He knows that.
He can still get help.
He can't get the help he's going to need to beat Miami.
My thing is this. You give me $10 million, and then you don't give me no help. I'm broke without no championships. Why not take the bird in the hand and be rich and try my best as me as the star guy, knowing that I've always been the star guy.
That's not win first though. That's me first.
I think that much respect for him said he wants to win first.
Kobe wants to win because. In order to winning raises elevates him. Mike wanted to beat you because he wanted to win. Kobe wants to win because he wants to be like Mike.
Hold on, I did mute him. We gonna take this in overdrive, ladies and gentlemen. We going into overdrive, overtime right now. You got to catch us on overtime to hear the rest of this. We going to overtime.
let's keep it rolling. All right, let's keep it rolling. So we're going, this is, you're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG, Renegade Radio, the extended version. All right, we're going into OT. All right, we're going to OT. It's not going to end in no tie. It's not going to end in no tie. We're going to ride this out. All right.
We can agree or disagree.
So what I'm saying, man, is Kobe has always been about Kobe, and we know that. And this is just another example of that. This is Kobe gone Kobe. He going to do what he do. And, you know, again, people want to say that it's about the winning, it's about the championships. For him, that is a byproduct of elevating his status. Kobe wants to be the greatest of all time. He knows he needs championships to get that. If he can't get championships, he's going for the scoring title all time. That's what he's going for right now. That's what he's trying to achieve.
How can you be mad at that? How can you be mad at
that? I'm not. I'm just saying that's who he is. I'm not mad at it. I'm saying that's who he is.
I sell hotels. I want to sell an example of that.
Because Mike, for a long time, got underpaid so he could win.
Mike
for
got
a long
$25 million to play for Washington when he was washed up after he came back from basketball.
Yeah, but that
he
was because
he
knew he
wasn't
winning.
He wasn't trying to win no championships in Washington.
I'm going to tell you this. Colin Cowherd from ESPN has a great theory. He's like, everybody forgets Michael's flaws. They only want to praise Mike for his six championships and his relentlessness. Michael did a commercial. He missed more game-winning shots than anybody in the league over the course of his career. Michael lost several times because of his own performance. But nobody gives Kobe or LeBron the credit that they deserve for their successes because they're comparing them to Mike, and all they remember that Mike was 6-0 in the NBA Finals.
And you know what, though, Justin? In 10 years, all they're going to remember is the good stuff about Kobe, too. That's the way it's going to go. That's the way it goes. Give it time. You know what I'm saying? Like, yup, that's true. I hear Colin say that all the time, and I'm like, yeah, that's true. And in 10 years, people are going to say the same all good stuff about Kobe. And they're going to say all good stuff about LeBron. That's the way it goes. Our memories reflect. That's just human nature. So, like, to say that Mike is somehow put up on a pedestal, so is Jim Brown. So is Bo Jackson. You know what I'm saying? So is Joe Montana. So will Peyton Manning. So will Tom Brady. If you're great now, in a couple of years, people are going to still think you were great. People are going to view your great moment. They're going to remember the highlights. It's a highlight.
So why are you giving Kobe such a hard time for taking the money he deserved? He earned it.
I'm not giving him a hard time. I'm not giving him a hard time. I'm just saying it puts it out there that it's not about winning right now for Kobe.
You can't take that kind of thing.
You're mad at Kobe for banking on himself.
I'm not mad at him.
But I'm just saying that's what it is. But it's not going to be enough to overcome those teams in the West.
That's what I'm saying. So he's banking on himself, and that's great. And that's great, but it's also foolish. It's great. He's banking on himself. I don't have a problem with him banking on himself. But in the reality, in grand scheme of things, his team is not going to be better than the teams that he's going against. Period.
And that's what that's the fundamental fact that I disagree with. I would pay Kobe.
It wasn't
any
last
amount
year,
of money.
Justin. He had one of the best years
I
in his career,
Kobe
and they barely were 8
seed. Let me tell you, I got him as an 8 seed because he's coming off an Achilles injury. But next year,
last year they were 8 seed and he was healthy.
Nah, but
up until the last 2 weeks of the season,
Dwight Howard was a distraction.
Right. So what's going to change? What's changed about that? He doesn't have a center as good as Dwight.
Let's look at circumstances.
He doesn't. Jordan Farmer is a point guard. If you weren't up on what's
Jordan
going on with the Lakers,
Jordan Farmer's out for 4 to 6 weeks with a torn hamstring.
So now Steve Blake's the point guard again. Oh yeah, that worked out well.
Nah, see, you're trying to play situation, and you can't do that.
I'm just talking about what's actually on the roster.
Let me just go back. Hold on. Let's break down what happened last year. Dwight caused confusion and controversy. Paul Gasol had a torn plantar fasciitis.
Steve Nash only played less than 40% of the games. Like, they didn't have a real team last year.
You know how old Steve Nash is?
Kobe was a first-team All-American guy.
And you forgot they hired D'Antoni,
right?
Who is not going to win you no championship games?
Why should Kobe give money back? Because they hired the wrong coach.
I'm not saying give money back, but even with the right coach, I'm not saying give money back because they hired the right. But if you're talking about winning. And you're talking about going up against Kevin Durant. You're talking about what Houston has. You're talking about what San Antonio has. You're talking about what Golden State has. You're talking about what Portland has. You're looking at how these teams are emerging. You're talking about what the Clippers have. This is just in the West.
Emerging don't mean nothing. How many times have teams been emerging and they haven't come through? They haven't come through yet.
LA is defending right now. The Lakers are defending.
The Lakers are defending. With a healthy Kobe Bryant, I like the Lakers to shock
over San Antonio?
No. They won't be San Antonio. They won't be San Antonio.
The Lakers will be first round exit if they even make the playoffs.
Are they going to be Oklahoma City? No. You know that.
Probably not this year, but maybe next.
You're about to get
the card. Depending on who they get in the draft.
Each year,
So they go into the lottery?
And free agency. You guys are discrediting the Lakers' ability to bring in free agents.
The Lakers,
Kevin Love and Carmelo Anthony want to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. You get me, Kobe?
Right, but Kobe just took $24 million.
Doesn't matter.
With a $50 million cap.
Doesn't matter.
The cap is at 50.
They
cap is at
the luxury. Don't worry about that.
They can't even sign a dude. They have to do a sign a trade. They ain't going to have nobody under contract.
They can get Melo in free agency, and they can re-sign Powell because they own Powell's rights already. I like that threesome better than, like, a lot of other guys' threesomes.
Come on. And then what? And then what they going to put around
you that? You don't like Kobe, Powell,
Melo? A bunch of bargain bin ancillary pieces that ain't gonna fit.
That's what Miami got.
But see, Miami has the unifier, right? They got the galvanizer named LeBron. He brings it together because he does so much. They got Neo. All right, Kobe's not Neo. Carmelo's not Neo.
Fuck it, he's Usher. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use that language. Usher taught Neo.
Kobe's not Neo. It's just not how it goes. I mean, he's a great player, but what he does, he's not making other dudes. He's not going to be able to take. He's not going to be able to take spaghetti and turn it into a 7-course meal. He's not going to be able to do that. He's not going to take a box of rice. Again, LeBron won 64 games with his second best player was Mo Williams. He got Mo Williams to an All-Star game. But Williams ain't even went to All-Star weekend since. They didn't even invite Mo Williams to All-Star festivities. All right?
I agree with that.
LeBron left.
I agree with that.
That's the difference between what Miami did and what Miami is doing and what the Lakers will try and do.
LeBron, and Powell as a threesome.
That's not going to happen. Melo, Kobe, and Powell will happen, and that'll be good. Now, they'll be good, but they ain't winning no championship.
We'll see. Because I like Indiana to beat Miami this year. Shock the world.
That's a whole different situation, though. That's chemistry. That's a team coming together. That's a team that fits. That's a team that fits. Where the pieces make sense.
That's a star in the making in Paul George. That's not even a star in the making. That's a star. The league is the MVP candidate this year.
That's a star. I got him as my keeper on my fantasy team. That's my G. That's my guy.
So not to change the subject, but I know we are after hours and we running late, but I got Paul George as my early MVP candidate. What you think about that?
I'm in on that. Put me down for 20 on that.
I'm in on that.
I got
LeBron is doing what he's doing. He's doing his LeBron thing. But again, Paul has taken his game. I was talking to my brother about this. Last year, Paul George thought he was good. He went out and tried to see how good he was. This year, Paul George knows he's a beast, and he's going out to prove he's a beast every night. It's a different mentality with that dude right now, man. It's a different mentality. And I look at his numbers. I look at his box score every night on my, because he's on my fantasy team, and I see what this cat does on a nightly basis. So I'm following that team, and he's killing people.
he does more than LeBron because he's asked to do more. And
yeah.
I think that bodes well for him, and I think that he improved so much year over year that it's like, wow. Like,
yeah.
He's emerged, and here he is. And again, I got him over Melo. I got Melo at the fourth best small forward. And I want Melo to be first.
Oh, Durant.
To be honest.
Okay, got it.
I got Durant. I got LeBron, Durant, PG, then Melo.
Yeah. I'm not arguing with that at all. Paul George, early season MVP, full show. You're not gonna get no debate from me. I'm in on the Paul George bandwagon, man. That brother's bad. He's got the game. The Lakers situation, I don't know, man. Yeah, I mean, Kobe can get his money. I ain't mad at him for getting money. I ain't never gonna be mad at no man for getting money, especially an athlete. You only got a certain amount of time to capitalize on your athletic ability. All I'm saying is that it's a definitive indicator of where his mind is at right now. That's all.
Would you take $10 million not knowing what your organization is going to give you in return?
Then why stay? If you try to win, why stay? If you try to win, why stay? If you know they're not going
to
win, if you know the organization can't win.
One team for your entire 20-year career to win 5 championships in 20 years, which nobody else has done other than Magic Johnson.
But he's not going to win a championship because he don't trust his organization.
He already got his 5. He good. He still has the ability to win one, even if he does or doesn't. He still won 5. Who can sneeze at 5?
You can't. I mean, his legacy is set in stone.
So tell me, I take 10. I'm Kobe. I take 10. And my team and the organization brings me nothing in return.
But are you
now,
hurting?
I got no championships.
They're going to foreclose his house. 5,
nor do I have my money. What do you? Hold on. I'm sorry. I know where D-Wheels work. Where do you work? Game changer. Where do you work?
I work for the Madison Metropolitan School District.
And they offer you $500,000 right now, but you got a shitty staff. Oh, I'm sorry. You got a uncooperative staff.
This is what PAD gonna get you.
That's what it's gonna get me because you guys got me worked up. You got an uncooperative staff, and they're going to pay you $500,000. Are you going to take $400,000 in a cooperative staff, or are you going to take your 5 and run?
Quality of life, baby. Quality of life. Yes. You ever worked in a school? You don't want a staff that's not cooperative. It's not worth it.
You know what?
$100,000,
I'm like Kobe.
You got kids
my money.
And the staff is on the office. Ain't nobody on the same page? That's no good, bro. That's no good.
I'm like Kobe. Give me my money.
Nah,
I'll leave
that money on the table and walk away. That's a whole different business, though. That's a whole different field.
It's a different mentality.
Sports is different.
We're talking situation.
But I don't blame Kobe. But again, it says how he feels about the organization. It says about where his mind is at around the situation. He does.
I disagree.
I think it
says a lot about where his mind is at. His mind is that he's going to come back the player that he was, and I think it's going to – he feels like, you know, I'm Kobe Bryant. I can be
– Exactly. That's my point.
First-team All-American. And the first-team All-NBA guy should get
$25 million. Kobe going Kobe. His greatest gift is his biggest curse is that he loves himself. He believes in himself to no end. Even when it don't make sense,
do
himself.
If I can guarantee you a first team All NBA ballot performer, would you not pay me $25 million?
But you can't, because that's what he was. That's not what he is.
That's what he did last year. Why would you think he's not going to do it again? Because of an injury?
Because he's 37 and he's coming off an Achilles.
He's never been injured. This is...
As Devon said, Father Time is undefeated.
The guy
only cat challenging him is B-Hop.
Chris Paul towards ACL. He came back a brand new player. Chris Paul towards ACL. Came back a brand new player.
Who's that?
Chris Paul.
But those are young cats. Coming back as young players.
Chris Paul did that when he was 26. He didn't do that when he was 37. Look at Steve Nash. Steve Nash, when he was in Phoenix, it looked like Steve Nash could play for another 5 or 6 years. Soon as he left,
Steve Nash
turned 38, 39.
All right, so you don't want to compare. Who did you not want to compare earlier? You can't compare
Melo and Kobe?
Steve Nash to Kobe Bryant. Can't do it.
I'm talking about age, man. I'm talking about age. 39 is 39, bro.
You know what? Only time will tell. I would love to, you know, 3 years from now, I'll tell you how Bradley Beal was not who you thought he was. I'd love to tell you. Hold on now. I'd love to tell you how Kobe proved you wrong. But it takes time when we have debates like this.
Of course.
It takes time. You know,
some get right away, and some got to marinate.
It takes time. I should have emailed you when James Harden's defensive woes started haunting Houston, as great of an offensive player as he is. But I got so many things in the archives I want to send to you. Like, it's too much right now.
I never said James Harden was a defensive stalwart. All I said was he was the second best two guard in the league. And y'all act like I said, you know what I'm saying? He was best two guard all time.
You basically called him Michael Jordan. But we're not going to go there.
I did.
It's late. It's late.
I said he was better than Joe Johnson. I said he was better than Iguodala.
I saw Joe is carrying Brooklyn right now.
Yeah, not very far, though.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm going to intervene. I'm going to say we do have to pay some bills because we do need to get that dog of the weekend and as we wrap up the overtime. So, game changer, you're going to need to transition us.
Yeah, so let's hit them off with the Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Make sure you check out our boy LR. He's going to be hosting the show next week in place of me. He's going to be here, Resistance Digital. Make sure you check him out. Get all your digital needs met at a low price. They will not try to upsell you on technology that you don't need. Hit up the man LR at resistancedigital.com. They'll get you hooked up. Boom, Dog of the Week. PhD, who's your Dog of the Week? I'm sorry, PhD ain't here. D. Wills, who's your Dog of the Week? I'm thinking of next week.
My dog of the week is Seattle defense, holding a high-powered New Orleans offense to 188 total yards, just thorough beatdown of a very good team. You know, they're gonna be a formidable force going towards the playoffs.
All right, Justin, who's your dog of the week?
My dog of the week is in my in my coloring box, my realm of thinking. I got to go with Tim Duncan and the performance he put out last night, the game winner against my Atlanta Hawks, the first 20-20 guy over the age of 37 years old. Tim Duncan showed us everything that he's known for. I got to give Tim Duncan my dog of the week with 23 points, 21 rebounds just last night.
All right. And so for my dog of the week, I'm going with the Auburn Tigers, the whole team, all right, for pulling off a major upset. But also, no matter what happens, they've done what every team wants to do. They put themselves in a position to control their own destiny. Whether they win or lose from here on out, whether they play in a national championship, it's totally up to them. If they went out, then they got as good a shot as anybody playing a national title. That's all you ask for as a coach, as a team, is to be able to control your own destiny. So hats off to the Auburn Tigers.
They got lucky. They made it happen. They made a play when they needed to. That's what it's all about. So we're signing off here. My man Justin Page, my man D. Wills, RSG, the Renegades. We'll hit you next week. Larry Randall will be joining us. I'll be out. PhD will be back. Take it easy. Take care. Be well. Be blessed. Peace.